It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. In the north, we are on there right now on ESPN Reno. Dial 775-766-1400. Ended hour one abruptly. I was just talking fighting, celebrity fighting, influencer fighting, which in some ways has a bigger market now than regular boxers, which I don't get. But former UFC, I think he was a star, Tony Ferguson, and then he, you know, got old, right? And he's a stand-up guy and got a little punch drunk. But they matched him up against this salt poppy kid who is, I guess, used to weigh like 280, and now he's down to 180, and he's been in some celebrity boxing matches. And I mean, that was he went in against Tony Ferguson, and Tony Ferguson was using his head like a friggin' basketball. I mean, it was bouncing all over the place. I'm like, he is gonna kill this guy. But hey, for Tony Ferguson, it's money. Some, you know, short, fat schlub who, like I said, he's lost weight to get to 180. He probably should be fighting around 147 or 154 if we're doing boxing weights. The other thing I mentioned was RJ Clifford was just on with us, and RJ was on social media last week, and he's a very good-natured guy, argumentative on stuff like this, but he's also not going to plant his flag so much where it starts to get all testy. And some tweeter tweeted at him and said, "Wrestling hasn't taken over, ? Okay, sweetheart," and then made his point. I'm like, bro, you are talking to a former professional fighter. Shut the hell up. So many freaking keyboard warriors. And I was just saying to you during the break, guys who wrestled in college and then fought some MMA professionally, if you are in a street fight or a bar fight and they simply got their hands on you, do you really think you could get away from their clutches? Especially a former college wrestler, if he gets his hand around the back of your neck, you are lifeless. You will not be able to move. And then you made a point, because Griffin's a big guy, you know, 6'5", 238. Your brother's, what, is he? He's bigger and heavier?
Yeah, he's about 6'6", 6'7", and 275.
And he was talking trash about female professional MMA fighters, which, listen, size-wise, if he could get his hand on, or his hands on, I don't know, Amanda Nunes, right? And she probably walks around at 170 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
If he could get his hands on her and hold her, then yeah, he wouldn't get knocked out. But she knows how to disengage. And as soon as she starts releasing her hands, did you tell him this?
I literally had to, this is over the phone. I wish it was in person, so a little slapping could have been involved. But no, I'm trying to describe to him, like, listen, you get her on the ground, you try to pin her down there, good for you, buddy. You're going to get elbows to your face, and you're going to get knocked out from top position. It doesn't matter what position you're in. And I was trying to tell him, I don't care if you're a 6'7" freak, which, by the way, I tell him all the time, I'm handsome tall, he's freak tall. When you're that tall and big, you think you have an advantage, but I don't care if it's a female. I don't care if it's a small 115-pound man. If they got training, they know what to do in every situation possible, and they're going to take advantage of it. You got no chance.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
So, talking on the internet is one thing, or, you know, busting chops at a press conference or a round table, which is what that salt pappy was doing to Tony Ferguson. It's another thing. When you have to actually meet up against someone you're talking trash about, it's a whole different ball of wax. But I got to tell you, Tommy Castellanos, BC transfer down to Florida State, was talking trash at ACC Media Days, actually before that, and was saying, I'm not that worried about Alabama. Nick Saban ain't around to save them anymore. And people were like, whoa, Florida State 2-10. Castellanos got into a disagreement at BC. I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with Bill O'Brien. I'm guessing the other part of it was Florida State may have called and said, hey, you don't like it there, get the hell out. We got money for you. But that kid went out and did his best Diego Pavia impression all over the Crimson Tide. That got ugly. 31-17 final, and the worst part about it for Alabama is they got outrushed like 233 to 45. just out physical against Florida State. Alabama, out physical.
Oh yeah, it you know, after watching that game, I couldn't help but think to myself back to the Bible. And I thought to myself, you know what, if there was podcasting, if there was media back in the day of David and Goliath, wouldn't everybody just love to hear David talk a bunch of nasty shiz up to their battle? And then when the battle actually goes down, he actually gets it done and beats Goliath. Like, it's cool. I know everybody was probably, this Tommy Castellanos, he's probably talking his best all the way leading up to this game. And probably a lot of people were getting into his ear, even people on his side, and were like, hey, man, you probably shouldn't, you know, it's Bama. It's the Tide. You gotta ease up a bit. You know, don't give them any fuel to the fire.
Bulletin board material. Who cares? If you can back it up. Who cares? And there is a truth to this right now that I still think Bama's going to have a good season, but kids are not intimidated simply because they're going against Alabama. And Nick Saban being gone, you know, he's the guy who went whatever it was, 90-11 for like a 10-year period or whatever, 9-year period. It's just not the same. And then the great thing about this is Castellanos, the quarterback for Florida State, is now monetizing the trash talk after they've won. And has his own merch that basically is branded with Nick ain't saving you. So it's not any sort of trademark or copyright infringement, because who the hell is Nick? It's just a statement he made. And then the best part, did you look at the price on the graphic?
I didn't see the price. What is he costing?
$31.17. $31.17. That's Alabama loses.
That's freaking amazing.
To Florida State.
Number three.
All right, let's stick with the trash talk. I got to tell you, one of my favorite highlights of the weekend, and I still didn't find what game this was. There is a video of a band with a tuba player on kind of on the edge in the back corner of the band, right, in the bleachers. And there's some kid from the other school, a fan, like barking at him, talking trash to him. And while people are like, band nerd, poor guy. One, most tuba players are kind of big fellas. I'm not saying they're muscular fellas, but they're big fellas. You can't play that thing, you know, without the wind capacity and also almost like the belly to kind of hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
This kid gets off four of the cleanest right hands with the tuba turning with him, and the first three kind of graze him, and he just keeps going. The fourth one, like, it gets the guy. The guy goes stumbling backwards into the stands, and then the worst part about it, you just got punched in the face by a tuba player. Within 2 seconds, there's a cop who's coming down and being like, kiddo, what are you doing? And I'm not talking about the tuba player. He ain't going to the tuba player. He's going to the idiot who was barking at the tuba kid.
Man, you know you are in the wrong in a situation like this. I mean, if this was the mascot beating you up, if this was the AD beating you up, nah, it's the freaking tuba player. The tuba player, and I might have been watching this video and didn't see quite right, but it almost looked like he still had the tuba piece like up to his mouth, as if like, wasn't he still like mid-song playing?
I don't know that he didn't. If he was playing the tuba and throwing right hands, that's epic.
That's epic. That's freaking epic. But yeah, no, just unloading on them. I mean, I played a little saxophone and clarinet back in the day. And
did you always have your hands ready to go? Throw a right hand?
No, because you always had to have the strap. You know, you have the strap that connects to it and then wraps around your neck.
As if the sax is a bit inhibiting. How about a freaking tuba wrapped around your body and you got to turn in motion, make sure the right hand comes free. Probably should have followed through with the tuba, but the tuba's worth too much money, so why dent it?
I want no beef with any guy who can play a fight song as part of an ensemble and can also whoop some butt along the way.
Number two.
Hey, don't forget, this weekend, another pregame shindig at Whiskey Stadium. 3 to 5 on Saturday. That's the Whiskey Stadium right across from Allegiant Stadium. Griffin will be on hand with cool giveaways. Their drink specials for game days are excellent. They got a draft special, bucket special. You can get the seltzers for pretty cheap. It's all at Whiskey Stadium, and you can take advantage of the new Mullen menu. That's right. Dan Mullen has menu items. He's got a Mullen burger or a chicken cheese steak. Griffin will be on the scene. The place to pregame before UCLA and your UNLV Rebels is Whiskey Stadium right there on Polaris. Griffin will be there from 3 to 5. All right, number two, I don't know. I'm not into these things, but I do kind of find it fascinating the more I heard about it. When I first saw the picture, I was like, wait, you can see through Ryan Day's shirt, the Ohio State head coach, it looks like he's got a nipple ring. And I really didn't put much thought to it until I heard another radio show this morning doing like humana, 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 humana. Like they couldn't speak about the nipple ring like adults. One, do you have any piercings?
No.
I don't have any piercings. I don't have any tattoos. I never had a desire to get an earring. I never had a desire to get nips pierced or my lip or my nose or the nether region. But frankly, if Ryan Day or someone around Ryan Day derives pleasure or likes the look of the nip ring, I guess go ahead and do it. Will this turn into a problem if he's not winning football games? We want our coach to be wholesome, because right now I'm sure they're like, who gives a rat's ass? He can wear a freaking bone through his nose if he's winning football games.
This is, I imagine maybe it was, if there is a ring underneath that shirt for Ohio State's head coach, I can't help but imagine it was probably like a bet, maybe. Maybe one of those things where he's like, once I win a national championship, I'm just going to go for it.
Maybe.
I'm going to pierce one of these nipples. I'm gonna wear a shirt to make sure that, you know, you could just barely see it so that the whole media goes into a frenzy over it. If he has a nipple ring, who cares? Bill Belichick was winning all those Super Bowls. If he had a nose piercing, you know, would we still say, oh, those Super Bowls meant nothing? Or, oh, that's ridiculous.
Should I do TMI and talk about women with the rings, or should I just talk about college football quarterbacks?
I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
I'm going to go college football quarterbacks.
Okay.
Arch Manning got crushed over the weekend. Did he have a great game? No. Was he let down by his receivers, especially on the third down the stretch? That was a catchable ball. Yes, he was. He was not spectacular. He'll be fine. We'll get into his Heisman odds inside of 10 minutes with Sammy P. Ohio State won the game. Texas obviously was very much in the game. Defense dominated the day. Julian Sain wasn't exactly a world beater either. He's the Ohio State quarterback in from Alabama, and it's his first year starting. He was 13-20 for 126 yards, one touchdown. Jeremiah Smith, we'll see how long he's going to stay patient. He'll be fine, but only six catches for 43 yards. He had a couple of drops. Ohio State only had 203 yards offense, so I hope Ohio State fans aren't coming out of this thinking, hey, you know, we're number one in the country, we're all set. Your quarterback, like a lot of these young quarterbacks, is going to need some time here. I would lower your expectations a bit if you think you're going to be going out there scoring 60 points a game like you did a year ago. And this is one of the things I built this season on. New young quarterbacks are going to be a massive story for the Powers. Bama's quarterback, Ty Simpson, didn't look great. Julian Sain was just okay. CJ Carr had a couple of moments, but he certainly wasn't as good as Carson Beck. Top story.
Number one.
Worst loss of the weekend? On the highest level, was it Notre Dame? Is Miami that good? Was that a bad loss?
I don't think it was a bad loss at all. I think it was two very good, you know, caliber opponents going at it. And Miami with Beck at the helm at quarterback, they look like a real legit squad.
Carson Beck, and we'll get into this more. Looked like he did a couple years ago. Looked like he was having fun. He's another guy. You watch certain quarterbacks and the way the ball comes out and where they can deliver it to on the field, and you're like, okay, now that's an NFL quarterback. I don't know if he's going to make the league, but his arm is NFL quality. We'll hit this more with Steve Kim in just a little bit. Big Miami fan. He was down at the game. Both of these teams are definitely players in the national title hunt. I will say Notre Dame, play to your strength, man. I know you wanted to get CJ Carr some easy looks. Run the ball. Keep running the ball.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
On Tuesdays, we start looking ahead to the upcoming week, week one in the NFL, week two in college football. We bring in Sammy P, Sam Paniatovic from Bet Sweats on this Tuesday. But I will look back for a second, Sam. What's going on, buddy?
I would hate to be Louisiana Monroe this Saturday. You know who they play?
I do.
Alabama.
Yes, Alabama. Alabama. I would hate to be a big popular school better week one, because as it turned out, five of the most bet week one college football sides were Texas, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Indiana. Oops.
Those were the five top plays at BetMGM, and we do this segment every Friday, football season, Joe and I, called Where's the Room? And the joke is, Brooks generally bad at betting.
Mm-hmm.
So we come out of the shoot, bang, 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 0-5, only to be compounded by the fact that the games on Friday went 1-4. So if you were to just fade the top sides, it's never this simple, but maybe sometimes it is. If you would have faded the top 10 sides Friday and Saturday, you were 9-1 ATS.
Amazing. But like you said, it does turn, and we track it in the NFL, and we see some weeks where the books do well, or weeks where all the faves win. Give me your reaction to the Alabama loss.
I think it's been almost 20 years since I saw them get worked on the line like that, both offensive and defensive lines. They were just getting pushed around. And we've seen some of the fallout, a lot of the Bama accounts and the Reddit boards and all that. They're saying that DeBoer's running a loose ship and guys are ordering DoorDash night before the game and there's girls coming in and out of the hotel and all that. And I don't know. I don't know that that's all true, but it wouldn't surprise me. You go from a disciplinarian in Saban to a guy who's kind of chill, West Coast guy. It ain't working, whatever it is. And I saw this crazy stat that Nick Saban, in his entire career at Alabama, when they were 14 or higher, two touchdown favorites, he had two losses. Going back to what, the end of the 20? Well, that would have been, he took the job in like 07 or 08. So, what, 17 years, give or take? Two losses as a two touchdown favorite. DeBoer's been here for a year and a game and has four losses of 14 or higher. So, it's alarming. I don't know that they have the right quarterback. Clearly, it's a talented roster, Steve, but you have to develop talent and guys have to get better. That always happened under Saban. We don't know if that will happen under DeBoer, and the crazy part is he has a $70 million buyout. So while some people are saying, fire him, launch him, you know, the Feinbaum callers are up in arms. Are they really going to pay this guy $70 million to go away? We'll see.
Okay, Louisiana Monroe. You want to take him plus 37?
No, no shot. I would lay it before I would take him. I like another favorite, though, on the board. I'm not in love with laying huge numbers, but I do think Texas Tech is going to ragdoll Kent State. Kent State almost lost to Merrimack, Steve, over the weekend.
Sure.
Texas Tech's quarterback, Baron Morton, he's got a knee injury. I don't know if he's going to go, but their backup is awesome, and their third-string kid is a former D1 starter, so that might not matter. Texas Tech is laying 48 to Kent State. I think that could be 63-3. I'm not afraid. That would be the big number I would lay, but I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be betting against two teams in week two. Alabama's number one. North Carolina's number two. That line has moved like crazy. So Circa opened that game up at, I believe, 19. Yep.
Oh, my God.
They opened it up this morning at 19.
Holy crap.
It is now North Carolina minus 12.5. It's moved almost a whole touchdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably too much. I hope people realize that while it is on the campus of Charlotte, they have a nice little stadium that holds 15,000. I'm guessing that 11,000 will be North Carolina fans, so I don't think it's going to be a real road environment.
North Carolina is so much better than Charlotte. I mean, the true number is probably 17, 18. But because of the perception, oh, well, they just lost by a million, so there's no way I'm going to lay points. Okay. Look, I wasn't excited to lay 19, but now we're looking at the board. Superbook, Circa, 12.5. Golden Nugget, 12.5. South Point, 13. I don't know how much lower it's going to go, but I have a feeling you will get that blitz the other way. You're going to see some Carolina money eventually. I can't imagine this moves that much more. It's already moved 6.5 points.
Week 2 college football breakdown. Sam Paniadovich, Bet Sweats is with us. All right, a lot of hype about Illinois. I know you said let's calm down, but people expect them to be right there near the top of the Big Ten, maybe a 10-win program, maybe compete to get in the CFP. They're at Duke. Duke has a very ballyhooed quarterback they brought in for a lot of money. But if the Illini are really good, you got to go down there and handle Duke relatively easily.
Duke has a lot to like, including Manny Diaz, their head coach, who's a defensive wizard. I have a feeling they're going to take away a lot of what Illinois wants to do well. And remember, Illinois lost two receivers of the NFL, and they're going to try and run the ball. Well, we'll see. I really respect Manny Diaz, and he's been exceptional over the years as a dog. So, look, you're going to have the pros be on Duke. The Joes will be on Illinois. I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all. We did see the threes go away earlier today. A lot of 2.5 in the market around lunchtime, Vegas time, and now we're back to three. So you're going to have that fight around the three basically all week long. It's hard to envision this line getting much bigger or much smaller. I don't think Illinois is going to go to four. I don't think Duke's going to get bet down to two. I think three is a great number. Clearly writing action on both sides, but I will be on Duke plus three.
Border war, which is very underrated that people don't know how much Kansas and Mizzou hate each other. Kansas actually out to a good start here. Some blowouts. Missouri looked very good. Bo Prabula, solid at quarterback to Penn State. Transfer over. It's a pretty big spread here, 6.5.
I like the dog. I'm going to like a lot of dogs this week, though. I'm going to try and find the undervalued underdogs. I think Duke is one. I think Kansas is another one. I think Iowa is actually a third one. I know you didn't ask about that game, but those are three teams I sort of find myself leaning towards. Duke plus three, Iowa plus three, and I really love this Kansas quarterback, Jalen Daniels. It's so funny. 2 years ago, Kansas had an awesome year, and everybody was pumping them up going into last summer. Well, last year they underachieved, so now it's, I don't know about Kansas. Well, I find myself more in that second bucket where maybe they underachieve, but they really, from a power rating standpoint, they didn't really get worse over the course of the season. In fact, they finished pretty strong. And then their head coach, I'm a big fan of, Lance Leipold. So he got two new coordinators in there. They've made quick work of a couple teams so far, including Fresno State in week number one. So I like them, or week zero, I guess. I keep saying week one. Week zero, very sorry. And then they played Wagner last week. That's a nothing game. But I do like their offense, and I'm not going to call upset, but I think Kansas is very live to hang inside that game and potentially make that weird in Columbia.
Very solid debut for the freshman, Bryce Underwood, at Michigan. They didn't blow the doors off of New Mexico. They go on the road here against Oklahoma, and they're getting five.
That line opened three at Circa, and within about 45 seconds, it was five. So that means a respected player came in and bet it, and then 30 seconds after that, they were 5.5, 6. It did actually get to seven, but then, as you know, people did come in and bet Michigan plus seven, so they fought it back a bit. We're about Oklahoma 5.5 around Vegas. I think Bama. I think Oklahoma is going to make it very tough on Underwood. I also don't know about Michigan's defense. We talk a lot about their offense and how much more talented they are. This defense is nowhere near as good as it was, obviously, 2 years ago when they won the title. And last year it showed some warts, although it did play well against Ohio State. But to give up 17 points to New Mexico, I was not that impressed. I mean, New Mexico threw the ball all over the field, 217 yards. And, of course, New Mexico covered that very huge number. Michigan was laying 34-35, only won by 17. That was a decent performance for Underwood, but by no means did they look impressive to the number. I mean, they were never going to cover 34 points. So they underachieved the market. And I thought Oklahoma looked a lot better than I thought they were going to be. Mateer, the quarterback, looks good. I think Oklahoma's a good bet at 5, 5.5.
Sammy P on ESPN Las Vegas. Well, Arch Manning and Texas lose. Arch just took a freaking beating all over the internet. He's done. No shot at the Heisman. What is he now?
18-1. His odds have tripled. One book actually just moved to 20-1. This was a kid that was 550
right
in the summer, Steve. 550.
Lost a game 14-7 against the top five team. Okay.
Well, he's a bust now. That's decided. He so played stupid. One game against a top three defense in their building
right
against an NFL defensive coordinator in Matt Patricia, and he's a bust. I believe we discussed this a couple weeks ago. I said the perfect thing for Texas would be to lose week one, and then they go out to 8-1 to win the title, and Arch goes to 12-1 to win the Heisman. I nailed it on the prices floating.
Yeah.
But I was way off on 12. 16, 16, 18, 20 to 1.
Wow.
Now would be the time to buy, right?
Rapid fire in two NFL games. We got less than a minute. Raiders at the Patriots.
Raiders on outright, money line.
Why?
Because it's a Pete Carroll revenge game. No, because I think Max Crosby is going to give that left side of the line fits. Patriots are starting a rookie at left tackle and left guard. Second-year quarterback, a lot to prove. And the Patriots are a very, very trendy, sexy team. Patriots will be very popular, wink, wink, on Sunday.
What are you going to do with the Vikings and the Bears?
I like the Vikings, but I'm also J.J. McCarthy guy, as you know. So I found myself in the summer looking at Minnesota plus one. Did not bet it, of course, and now Minnesota is minus 1.5, minus 2. I need to see this Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams thing work before I get very excited. So Minnesota, lay the point or the 1.5 in Vegas. I think they do take care of business. That Vikings defense is loaded. Going to give Caleb some problems.
By the way, I like to be accountable. Last week I was like, well, South Dakota, Iowa State, got a shot. No, they got blown out. And then Montana State couldn't even stay on the same field with Oregon. So sometimes the FCS teams, even the best ones, can't hang.
That's true, buddy. I'm telling you, watch that Texas Tech score this weekend. They could win by 60.
Sammy, thank you. We'll talk to you, buddy.
See ya.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Part of Cofield and Company is presented by our friends at William Hill. William Hill, Nevada Mobile Sportsbook app. Sign up now. They'll give you up to a $250 bonus bet. And so many cool things to get into. Deadline is this week, obviously, with the start of pro football. Pro Pick'em, you got to get in. $25 entry fee gets you in for all the action 18 weeks of the regular season. All you got to do is pick the winners. No point spreads, over 1.2 mil in cash prizes. They've got a $1 million bonus if you finish the season with 215 wins or more. Buy four entries, you get a fifth free. But get in today at any of the William Hill books around town. For more information about the full service locations, go to williamhill.us. Boy, oh boy. It's a good thing there's a lot going on with college football and with the Raiders, because I could have done an hour on the foolishness that started late last week with Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. Bruh, you made the trade. The season's on the way. You said your piece. You think this is going to make you better down the road. You couldn't come into an agreement. That's enough. And then I see the smear campaign start. One national site had up for 2 days a headline that said, basically, teammates didn't like Micah Parsons. Then you click on the story and it said, report from so-and-so, some teammates were bothered by Micah Parsons' arrogance. It didn't say the whole team, but that stuff's leaked to the media. Jarrah, it's done, okay? The way you win this in the court of public opinion is if Parsons turns out to be El Flopo moving forward, which ain't going to happen, or one, you need to have a good season without him, and Kenny Clark better be good, and you better nail it in the draft the next couple years. But most people looking at that deal think you certainly didn't get enough. Even if the decision was the right one to move him, you needed to get a lot more in the deal, and you came up way short. And I just, that's it to me. Again, it says so much about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys and Stevie Jones. And maybe Steve can't talk his dad off the ledge, or Steve's worse. Steve Jones is going to be taken over when his father moves on, however he moves on. I thought it was stupid over the weekend. David Mulugeta, the agent for Micah Parsons, said a couple things. He goes, Micah loves the game too much. He was going to play no matter what. I think the most important thing is that Micah wanted to be a Cowboy. He grew up cheering for the Cowboys, wore blue and white at Penn State, wore in the NFL with the Cowboys. He wanted to be a Cowboy. We did everything we could for him to remain a Cowboy. Mulugeta also said, I'm not sure how this turned out the way it did. We were open to negotiating and reached out multiple times, but for some reason, Jerry came out of that spring conversation, and that was the one that Parsons referenced, that Jones referenced, that the player and the owner sat down and talked. So Mulugeta followed up by saying, for some reason, Jerry came out of that conversation, believed he had an agreement, and wasn't open to negotiating further. So congrats! You got worse, but at least you win, in your mind, the PR battle, and you didn't let a player push you around, Jerry. Good for you.
That's the narrative I've been hearing. I also have been hearing the narrative of, it gives them so much freedom. now that they don't have to pay Dak and CeeDee and then now Micah. They're saying, you know, now the cap's a little bit free. Now they have some options. But it's like, again, like our conversation last week, what are your options when you alienate stars and the stars have no interest in being part of that clown show?
These guys all think that they operate in a vacuum and that other players don't talk to people around the league, that other players aren't watching what goes on. And when someone gets a rep of being a less than stellar owner who isn't going to treat his players right at the negotiating table, listen, Cowboys could be a wonderful organization for the players, but it's a money business, man. I guarantee Jerry Jones doesn't freaking, you know, take the short end of things when he's negotiating in the regular business world. So why would a player? I just, that the PR campaign over the weekend, I'm like, what are you doing, bro? The season's about to begin. You made your decision. Move on. You're not going to change anyone's mind, especially if the Packers are really good on defense.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and Reno.
All right, this 4 o'clock hour filled with plenty of college and pro football betting talk. We just talked to one of our resident bettors, Sammy P. Now let's go behind the counter as we bring in one of the folks from William Hill. Ray Cleaver is up with Cofield and Company here on this Tuesday. What's going on, Ray?
How you doing, Steve? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm fired up. I love the, especially in the case of college football, the overreaction. And we're seeing heavy betting and numbers moving all over the place, but the heavy reaction and many times overreaction to week one games. First of all, I wanted to find out from you guys some of the biggest games last week with Notre Dame, Miami, Bama, Florida State, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas. How did you wind up at William Hill in terms of the position of the book?
Well, a recipe that's never good for the public, unfortunately, is you have four premier college football games. Thank you to college football for putting these in week one. But considering that all four were underdog wins and all four stayed way under the total, it's never a recipe for the public to have a good day, unfortunately. Luckily, they did get in late, a lot of late money on some of the dogs. So it wasn't a record-breaking weekend for the books, but it was a good weekend. But the public got us back on Monday night with TCU, a favorite, and the game going way over. So they got some of it back, and that's a good thing.
My Lord, the overreaction, the number today, I don't know how much you've been tracking Charlotte and North Carolina, but now everyone is freaking out over Belichick getting wiped. I think North Carolina will be about a 500 team. I don't know that we need to overreact. Do you think they're worse?
I don't think they're worse, but I'll tell you, he has 70 new players, and it's almost impossible to go into the transfer portal. I mean, let's face it, the transfer portal is a little bit of a throwaway system. If somebody was really good, you think that Georgia, Alabama, Texas is going to let them get away? So they kind of have a land of misfit toys there in North Carolina, and Belichick's trying to put it together. I think with him and Michael Lombardi there, they're going to have some time to put things together, and they'll be fine. But I think the biggest overreaction of the weekend is on Arch Manning. I think we're forgetting that Texas allowed 14 points to Ohio State, and Ohio State 7 to Texas. He doesn't fall down on that quarterback sneak, and we might have a whole different outlook here. But I think I left the game going, wow, these two teams have tremendous defenses. This week we're going to find out with Texas playing San Jose State, who I don't think could score if they were playing, you know, right here in Vegas, a high school game. So San Jose State struggles to score with the total only being 52.5. I think that's based on will Texas score 52 points or not.
Yeah, San Jose. Yeah, so I was going to say San Jose State came into the season pretty well regarded. A lot of that was because of their schedule in the Mountain West Conference and that they weren't playing a lot of the big boys. I think they're okay. But, yeah, I was fascinated by the fact when you see the total at 52.5 and the spread at 36.5, that one's kind of interesting. What do you think is going to happen and what are you seeing so far at the window with Iowa State and Iowa? Toss-up game, really just a three-point favorite situation. But that total was really low at 41.5.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the Midwest. I'm originally from Wisconsin, and I lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa for a number of years. This is a war. These two teams absolutely hate each other, as evidenced by the underdog winning the last 5 years in a row. And 3 points to one of these teams is like gold. And a field goal in this game is like scoring a touchdown in most games. I mean, the total is 41.5 for a reason, and sometimes you just have to realize, believe the book, and this is one of them games. The public is on Iowa State so far. I was listening to a little different sports radio stations, including yours today, around as we were driving around, and it seems like the consensus is on Iowa State. But having grown up in the Midwest, I'm taking the 3. I'll be on the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, don't blame you. Another intense border war. They're not in the same conference anymore. What are you seeing with Kansas getting 6.5 against Mizzou?
You know, they haven't played since 2011, and when I was growing up, this was a huge rivalry game. Huge. And so, I mean, they're all built up, and they've been selling the rivalry. Wouldn't be surprised if there's a pregame fight, or I should say a shoving match. But Mizzou is very talented. I read a stat today that in the last 2 years in the SEC, Mizzou has the third best SEC record behind Alabama and Georgia. I found that almost hard to believe, but then I looked it up and it's true.
Yeah.
I think Mizzou is very, very talented. Can Daniels at Kansas keep them in this game? I somewhat doubt it. I think Missouri will just wear them down and eventually win the game by 10, 14 points.
Oklahoma's hosting Michigan. They're laying 5. The number's been all over the place. What do you see in this one?
Well, I got Michigan 0.5 better than Oklahoma in my power ratings on a neutral. So Oklahoma being at home, I would have Oklahoma only as about a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I don't think Michigan showed their full potential last week. I do believe they kept some things under wraps, knowing that their schedule was going to Oklahoma this week. When the line came out, I'm going to be honest, I was shocked at what the market put it out at. And I got a 6.5 on it, and I'm all over the Wolverines. I love Oklahoma, though, this year. I think they're going to be a much improved team with Mateer and bringing the offensive coordinator from Washington State with him. They're going to be a quality team. I just think it's a little early to be given a Big Ten so-called powerhouse that many points at home.
Clock is ticking for the William Hill Pro Pick'em Contest. Get in. It's pro football. You just got to pick the winning team. No point spreads. $10,000 in weekly prizes. Bonus prize of $1 million, over $1.2 million in total prizes. Download the William Hill Mobile Sports app, and you can enter your picks every single week on the app or get into a book now. For more information, williamhill.us. Ray Cleaver's with us on Cofield & Company. Let's turn our attention to the NFL, and it starts early. We got a Thursday tilt here. Boy, I don't know. You think this one's going to stay at 8? Eagles minus 8 against the Cowboys.
Well, which way do you think it's going to go, Steve? Because
I think the public is going to – they could push this to 8.5 or 9.
I agree with you, but I have a question. It was 6.5 before the Micah Parsons trade to Green Bay.
Yeah.
And Parsons wasn't scheduled to play in that game anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he hadn't practiced at all. He was going to California to a back specialist. He wasn't going to play at 6.5. How many is Micah Parsons? I don't think this is a public betting on the Eagles. I think it's a public anti-Cowboys thinking they're just all going to fold up.
Yeah.
The professional football players, they want to show they don't need Micah Parsons to do well.
Yeah.
I'd be on the dog pretty heavy. You know, the public is driving this up. All I've seen is Eagles, 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 and we all know how that goes.
Yep. All right, what's happening on the Friday game with the Chargers and the Chiefs?
Well, everybody's expecting the Chiefs to start folding up and going back to, you know, just being an above-average team. But as long as number 15 is playing quarterback, it's really hard to argue with the Chiefs. Chargers will run the ball. I kind of like the under in this game. I think that it's going to be a ball control, and every score is going to mean something. And another thing is you don't know how the travel affected these two teams playing down in Brazil. The field was very, very sloppy last year when Green Bay and Philadelphia played. In fact, Jordan Love got hurt in that game last year. So, you know, they're not playing in the best NFL circumstance for a stadium there. So who can keep their footing and who can get the turnovers and make something happen?
Raiders are getting 2.5. It's actually it's even money for the Raiders, getting the 2.5 at the Patriots. Where are the players right now? Where are the Sharps right now? Where are you?
Well, I think the players are on the Raiders. Now, granted, we have a heavy Nevada customer base, but Ashton Gentry against Trayshon Henderson, Trayvon Henderson, we got probably the best two rookie running backs in the NFL facing off against each other. We also have the only two new coaches who are retreads with Pete Carroll and Mike Vrabel. So, this game has a lot of storylines to it. They both won Super Bowls. Vrabel as a player, Carroll as a coach. So, I got to say, this is probably the game I'm most looking forward to this weekend. And I'm not a fan of either team. But we'll see what happens. The public is definitely on the Raiders right now. It dropped from 3 to 2.5.
The one I like a lot is Seahawks. I'm going to bet the Seahawks taking the points against the Niners. I am not very high on the Niners this year. I don't really understand why their win total is as high as it is. Am I wrong on this? What do you think?
No, I think they overreacted to their schedule. And every schedule, if you evaluate it before the season starts, will be totally different by week 8 or 9.
Right.
I have a hard time believing how a six-win team last year is favored at one of the most dangerous places to play in the NFL in Seattle. I'm with you. I'm on the Seahawks pretty big.
Ray Cleaver with us from William Hill. Make sure you get out, and if you don't have it, download the William Hill mobile sports betting app. Right now there's up to a $250 bonus bet available if you're opening up a new account. Fascinating game. Who knows if Micah plays? He's got to get the shot in his back, and then how effective is he going to be if he doesn't practice more than once or twice? Lions and Packers.
Well, Dan Campbell came out today and said Lambeau's a special place. He said on the eighth day, God created Lambeau. And he says, my players are very excited to play there. A lot of people forget that when the visitors go to Lambeau, they're only getting the opportunity like once a year. And a lot of these guys don't play there but every 4 years. It is a special place. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm an avid Packer fan. And my whole family's all Packers. But I'll tell you one thing. The Lions have had their number over the last couple of years. And I think Dan Campbell wants to prove something this week in this game and say, you know what, I know I lost both my coordinators, but I can still coach. The Lions may not win this game, but they will be prepared. You see mistakes on either team, in all honesty. I think this might be the game of the week as far as what we see as a product.
Wow. Okay, Ravens-Bills, certainly competition. That's a pick situation. Right now, William Hill has minus 115 on the Ravens side.
Yeah, it seems like the public's in love with the Ravens this year for the Super Bowl, for exactas, for everything. It seems like the public really likes the Ravens. I don't know if it's Chiefs fatigue, Bills fatigue, the Bills always choking, or what it is, but the Ravens seem to be the public darling for the Super Bowl this year. Ravens-Eagles, it's all we seem to see or hear. So, playing at Buffalo is not an easy thing. But if you look roster to roster, the Ravens are definitely loaded. So it could be an interesting game. We'll see what happens. Take that 250, put it on a bet at William Hill, and when you open up an app, you get another 250 with it. And see, what a great way to have a Sunday to win a 250 bet and have a 250 free bet. So,
Ray, great spot, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for a couple minutes, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Have a great day, and good luck this weekend.
I'll need it, believe me. Ray Cleaver, William Hill. Remember, they've got their Raiders specials. Some cool prop bets. Ashton Gentry, 1,250 yards rushing, over, plus 190. Geno Smith, 4,000 yards passing, over, plus 210. Brock Bowers, you want to go over the receiving number, that's plus 350. William Hill, download the app. Deepest betting menu in the state of Nevada. WilliamHill.us on the web.